With SDPB News, I'm Jackson Dirks. President Donald Trump said his administration is looking at buying more beef from Argentina to drive beef prices down in the U.S. That sparked outcry from American beef producers. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association responded, saying the plan, quote, only creates chaos while doing nothing to lower grocery store prices. U.S. Senator Mike Rounds echoed similar concerns on the social media platform X. He wrote that he had conversations with President Trump and USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins. Rounds says the conversation left him, quote, encouraged that the administration would do right by the American producer. Rounds says he's pushed mandatory country of origin labeling on all beef. He says that adding in more foreign competition on the beef market without being able to differentiate where it came from, quote, would only exacerbate the problem and hurt domestic producers. Tensions between President Donald Trump and his voter base are high as he claims cattle ranchers have him to thank for their success. In a post to Truth Social, Trump said if it weren't for him, cattle ranchers, quote, would be doing just as they've done for the past 20 years. Terrible. This comes after the president said he was considering purchasing more beef from Argentina to drive beef prices down. Warren Simmons is the president of the South Dakota Cattlemen's Association and a rancher and cattle feeder in the state. While combining, he calls statements like President Trump's, quote, dangerous.
The biggest issue is that when word comes out of Washington, then markets hiccup. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do fundamentally with what's actually happening in the country when it comes to cattle being bought and sold. Cows were selling higher this week again. So it's not like that's going to drive the market down when it comes to the actual product. But when we're talking about the Board of Trade and things like that, it causes those kind of things to hiccup, and that can cause uncertainty.
He says this is the biggest problem, the amount of uncertainty that goes along with such statements out of Washington, D.C. As for President Trump's claims that tariffs are the only reason for the cattle industry succeeding,
I would say that that factors in very little. I would say that he isn't listening to the people in the industry, and he isn't listening to the representation of South Dakota that's been talking to him when they tell him otherwise. That is so far from the honest truth that fundamentally that doesn't even make sense.
Simmons claims beef costs are high because of inflation over time. Data published by the State Unified Judicial System found 73% of all participants in the treatment court network don't commit another felony offense within 5 years of involvement. SCPB CJ Keene has more.
Treatment courts are most utilized for lower-risk individuals, often battling substance abuse or mental health disorders, and can break cycles of incarceration and addiction. Greg Satizon is the state court administrator.
It's really a kind of the community trying to figure out how can we address underlying issues.
He says on one hand, people involved in the legal system are more than just a use of taxpayer dollars. However, there is an undeniable cost saving to keeping people out of prison.
You know, this is a program that, but for, they would most likely be going to the penitentiary. And those average costs are about $33,000 a year to the taxpayers, whereas our program is right around $8,000. And so certainly just pure cost savings, which I don't think is the only thing to look at, but it's certainly important. The program really does provide good results for the investment.
Satizon says there is something more important than the pure numbers game.
Anything that can get somebody on the right path and have those positive steps is very rewarding. That's good for people that are in the field, but also every rearrest leads to more consequences and more cost. And so, you know, just making communities safer, reducing that likelihood of somebody coming back into the court system, a lot of net positives for everybody.
Treatment courts utilize personalized plans to address the participants' unique needs while also utilizing probation officers to continue supervision within the community. In total, a participant will receive between 200 and 300 hours of counseling, supervision, and court sessions during their time in the program. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
A man convicted of murder is granted a new trial by the state Supreme Court. The case of Dion Bordeaux now must advance without character evidence used in the original 2023 trial. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
Bordeaux was found guilty of the first-degree murder of Jeanette Jumping Eagle in 2023. Jumping Eagle was found with a single gunshot wound to the head in Rapid City on New Year's Day 2020. The jury trial returned the guilty verdict 2 years ago, and the first appeal was filed in July of last year. That appeal contends a prior guilty plea should not have been included in the second trial for the Jumping Eagle shooting. In 2019, Bordeaux was found guilty of stabbing a man and ultimately pled guilty to assault in June 2020. That was presented as character evidence by prosecution in the subsequent murder case. Character evidence is generally not allowed in criminal trial. Instead, the onus falls upon the state to prove the crime with the facts available via direct investigations. For Bordeaux's defense, there was not enough connection between that prior incident and the shooting to make the connection relevant at trial. On the other hand, the state argued to the court two incidents were markedly similar, namely the use of intoxicants and somebody Bordeaux had shared a close relationship with, culminating in an act of violence. All five of the state Supreme Court justices ruled that the judge should not have allowed the admission of this as evidence. However, they were split 3-2 on the question of a new trial, ultimately ruling in favor of retrial. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
The city of Sioux Falls reports progress on its efforts to address homelessness. The city will continue its panhandling marketing campaign annually. The goal of the Cash Handouts Don't Help campaign encouraged people to support local nonprofits as opposed to giving cash directly to panhandlers. City leaders say it was successful in its efforts. Michelle Treasure is the city's homelessness services coordinator. She says the city tracked progress, noting the campaign led to 8.9 million impressions.
So people visiting the website, people clicking on the link, wanting to learn more. There were a couple different options. There was social media videos that people could look at. There was a web page that people could click on, which we saw success in. People were saying, okay, so what do I do now? You're saying I shouldn't do this. So what should I do now? So then it would lead people to that web page to say, hey, these are the nonprofits that we work with. Here's how you get involved.
Sioux Falls is also developing an extreme weather plan, hoping to help homeless people as temperatures dip below freezing. Parking laws are changing in Spearfish as major work is taking place. The city reports no parking is allowed on either end of Main Street and Colorado Boulevard, along with Jackson and Jonas Boulevards in the work area. That includes a main connection to downtown Spearfish and continues up to University Street. Some new parking is added for East Kansas Street in the section closest to Main. The work includes resealing the major roads and bicycle lane projects. The city has not set a date for when the construction will be complete. The National Park Service will conduct prescribed fire operations in the boundaries of Mount Rushmore. If weather conditions remain favorable, the burns will begin today. The burns will take place at Starline Basin, a 95-acre unit of the National Memorial to southwest of Highway 244. For safety reasons, that means some corners of the park will be inaccessible for the next several days. Smoke will be visible for Black Hills communities near Keystone and could impact driving along Highway 244. For your morning in play today, SDPB's Nate Weck and Jason Andera summarized last weekend's high school soccer championships.
Welcome to another Your Morning in Play here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason Andera. We got to talk state soccer championships. Took place last weekend at Sioux Park Stadium in Rapid City. Cold, windy. It got a little colder as the night went on, but the wind died down and it got to be comfortable. But you know what? All things considered, I don't think the kids matter. I don't think it mattered to the kids too much because we saw a lot of kids still wearing shorts.
Oh, they're wearing shorts.
Short sleeves. Some of them had gloves on. And I'm like seeing the short sleeves and I was like, man, you got the gloves on. Your hands must get cold, but the arms don't.
Yeah. You know what? These high schoolers, they don't need any extra insulation. They didn't let weather be an excuse. Let's put it that way. A lot of great play on the pitch at Sioux Park.
So you had James Valley Christian starting the day off, going up against Freeman Academy. James Valley Christian lost in the state championship a year ago in a thriller to Vermilion. They found a way to get back, and this time James Valley Christian got it done. It was a big moment for two of the oldest programs,
yeah.
I guess, when it comes to boys soccer in the state.
Yeah, no one else has had programs since the late 70s like they have, and they've played each other a ton of times because they were the only two small schools with the program. So I think that was their 82nd meeting between these two teams and two of the smallest schools. The average daily membership, that's how the ADM and that's how the SDHA figures this stuff out, is 39 at James Valley Christian and 27 at Freeman Academy. Of course, they have some other schools that join them for soccer, but that's like four times as small as the next biggest Class A team in Groton. Like, these are tiny schools doing some big things. And James Valley Christian came out, and they controlled the game for a lot, but that was a great match.
Yeah, they did. It felt like James Valley Christian had a lot, you know, well, the first 20 minutes, I'll say, it felt like both teams were just really trying to feel everything out a little bit. It felt there wasn't really too much advantage going one way or another. And then you started to feel James Valley Christian starting to figure it out a little bit and kind of getting control. They ended up basically just getting a 2-goal lead and then sort of just playing defense
right
the rest of the time and trying to just control the ball and work the clock.
Yeah, big win for them. First sanctioned title for them, first title in their school since 2010. So congrats to the Vikings.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we had Sioux Falls Christian, Dakota Valley. This one was a fun one. It went all the way to a shootout to the penalty kicks, and we saw, you know, go to the fifth frame before we could figure out who the winner was. And then, unfortunately, it was just like a missed shot at the end by Dakota Valley.
Yeah, you hate to see somebody miss that. But yeah. Both teams fought hard all game. An unfortunate goal off of a Dakota Valley player into the Sioux Falls Christian net nets the Chargers a goal, and then Dakota Valley answered it with the equalizer really quickly. The same girl who went off her face accidentally went down to the other side and scored a goal. So that's something I'll remember about that match.
Yeah, it was a fun one, and we always love it when the game is exciting right at the end. So, yeah, Sioux Falls Christian repeats. And then Sioux Falls Lincoln started the evening session off for the against Sioux Falls Jefferson for the AA boys title. Sioux Falls Lincoln graduated 16 seniors a year ago, and everybody's sitting here like,
no way you can come back.
How are they going to get back here? And now they've got 10 seniors on their team this year, and they look just as dominating as they did last year.
The seniors on this Lincoln team ended their career 43-2-5. They had an unbelievable run, and they didn't leave much question in this one. They took it to Jefferson.
Three straight titles now for Sioux Falls Lincoln boys soccer, and then it was four straight for Harrisburg, who also just looked from start to finish like they just had control of it. I think the thing with Harrisburg that really surprises me is now this is four straight state championships and three different head coaches, but it's not like Eric Christensen and Haley Fisher got pushed out for any reason. They were just like, we're at a point in our careers where it's just time to step down.
Exactly.
But they've got something special going in Harrisburg.
Very special. They gave up 3 goals the entire season before this game, all to O'Gorman in their only loss of the year. But then they came back and got some revenge, I guess you could call it, but a huge win for them.
It was fun at state soccer. Lots of state champions crowned. We're going to talk cheer and dance and cross country next week. I'm Nate Weck. He's Jason Andera. This has been your Morning in Play.
That's SDPB's Nate Weck and Jason Andera for your Morning in Play. You can find out more at sdpb.org/sports. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks, and that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.